Pints and Vibes Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Al, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Ow! Velveteen Dream. P-O-D-C-A-S-T. Welcome to Tights and Fights. The show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that deserves. If I misspelled it, I'm not going back. I'm Hurt and Heel and Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the fweened Danielle Radford.
Oh, that's nice.
I like that.
That's good.
And the black leather queen, Lindsay Kelk.
Oh, my. I just realized where you got that from, but at the same time, I'm also very honest.
Yeah, where's that from?
That's from a film I made for ESPN.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
There you go.
I made a film for ESPN.
Yeah.
Same thing I did.
I'm familiar. Weren't you on WWE programming?
I was on WWE programming.
And Stephanie McMahon was retweeting and talking about you?
I mean, I'm just kind of a big deal. Although, at me, motherfuckers.
And she
right? Every time I see one of those, I'm like, what are you? Yeah. Why are we not adding Lindsay Kelk?
And she was so supportive of that she took time to meet with you when you were there, right?
I met with Steph at Evolution, while I was making the film, but
we
met at Evolution. Yeah.
And she was fine.
I got a hug. She liked my shoes.
All right.
I'm like, yeah, you do.
All right.
Yeah. Goddamn
damn good
right.
shoes.
I'll allow it.
Put Lindsay over.
Yeah, do it, you bastards. You cowards. Hide me.
I was telling Julian before we went in here, it's only a matter of time before your team with Braun Strowman to win the tag team championship.
It's also been posited on Twitter that I may be the anonymous Raw general manager.
That's possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
I've also taken advantage of the wild card rule by appearing on Raw, SmackDown, and SummerSlam
in the last three days.
Yep.
Like, I'm really getting a lot of screen time right now. Like, I'm doing a lot better than the majority of the women's roster.
You're getting a huge push. You've got more screen time than Mojo Rawley, Baron Corbin, and the Authors of Pain, and Naomi.
Half the roster, really. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying Paige is out for a second neck operation for like another 6 months. They might need another Brit because they don't like change.
That's right.
So I'm just saying, put a wig on me, send me out.
Ready
I can
to go.
Do it. Yeah, it'll be great.
I'll ready to go.
Ass pocket and everything will be fine.
Full Donnie.
Yay!
Go full Donnie. That'll be that's your wrestling name, Full Donnie.
Yes, it should have been. It should have been.
Ladies, we had a very busy weekend of wrestling. We had TakeOver, SummerSlam, G1, and then Raw and SmackDown. I know it's not the weekend. I know, and Julian knows as well. But we count it. It becomes like a 4-day weekend because it's followed by those two marathons. Let's start at NXT TakeOver Toronto 2 and the brand's top championship. And the one match from NXT TakeOver that I have yet to watch, I ran out of time. I got right up to it. I was like, I refuse to fast forward through it because I've heard nothing but great things. Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano had their third one-on-one encounter for the NXT Championship. It was a 2 out of 3 falls match with each fall being a different stipulation before ending in a steel cage wrapped in barbed wire.
Yeah.
Here's a clip.
15, 20 feet in the air perhaps. The only thing higher is the intensity of this rivalry, Beth.
We talk about history being made.
Oh, no. Oh,
we are looking at it.
Oh, no! Mayo! Mama effing Mayo! What the hell? Goes on top! Goes on top! It's damage!
Look how happy you are.
You are so pleased.
Oh.
Also, I'm sorry. I do not like when the other boys do the boom. That boom is not for you. That is Adam Cole's boom, and you did not earn it.
They're all trying to make their own spin on the boom, though, which is so cute. Did you see Roddy when he was, like, squatting in the ring for so long, waiting for his boom?
He was
and
waiting.
Like, I went to the ground too quickly. Now I'm just sat here in child's pose, waiting for my boom. And it's like,
you boomed too
he
soon.
He boomed too soon.
I think they share that. They all share. I think it's their boom.
It's cute.
But they don't all go you know, he's not going, Roderick Strong, baby.
That's fair.
He's got his own
thing
on top of it.
I think it's because the boom got botched. I was like, don't do the boom.
But
maybe
I know.
When they get it, maybe I'll like it more.
Yeah.
When they're all
there on the floor.
He was like, so sad.
Can he not get up? And his shoes untied.
Did he tear a quad running into the ring?
I loved Gargano's ring gear. That vest.
Oh,
the
man.
Wolverine vest with the slashes through it.
I have opinions.
Go ahead.
First of all, yeah. I tweeted this. It looked like he had the Seattle skyline from Frasier on his dick.
Maybe he did.
Maybe he did.
Maybe I hear the dude calling, toss penis and scramble balls.
I like
quite stylish.
That's great. I appreciate it when they do homages to stuff. Like I liked Sasha's homage to Wonder Woman in the Wonder Woman's, like, I think it was the Rumble match. Like, I like, mm-hmm. but when they're just straight up doing superhero gear, it's too much.
I tweeted this on Monday, I think, and you know, prefaced it as a potentially unpopular opinion, and it was.
Hey, do you know who Nightwing is?
Oh,
apparently.
Fuck off.
Twitter thinks that no one knows who Nightwing
is.
Yes,
Nightwing.
Dick's. First of all, it is my job to know who Dick Grayson is, so you can lick my balls.
But I'm just like, I'm over the cosplay element. Like the homage, yes, it's once at a blue moon, it's cute. But there's so much wrestler cosplay now. And I just find it distracting from character. Like, why is Alexa rocking straight up Buzz Lightyear gear? I know Alexa loves Disney.
Yeah.
I love the hidden Mickey in
the
her
hidden
gear.
Mickeys were great.
But straight up Buzz Lightyear, I'm like, are you a heel? I don't know. I don't know what you are. But like, why are you wearing straight up Buzz Lightyear gear? I don't like it.
Didn't I agree? If it was his everyday gear,
right.
In the case of Johnny Gargano, I'd be like,
I just
all
feel
right,
like
lay
it's
off
every
of it.
Time, though. I'm
every
like,
every
oh,
pay-per-view.
Johnny, get a character, get a personality that's not, I like comics.
It's
we
like,
know.
Yeah, and it's like, I get it. It was really fun.
Get a personality that's not what you love.
Well, first of all, like, that's.
Well,
not a personality,
no.
A character. Like, what's his wrestling character? What's your wrestling
if
character?
If it was
yeah,
me,
not your personality.
I would come dressed as a big bag of peanut M&Ms and walk right up to the ring.
We'll call you Johnny Peanut M&M's.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it was really fun when occasionally the New Day would be like, oh, we're going to dress up like this, like random anime, or we're going to dress up like Final Fantasy because it's random and funny. But now that every single pay-per-view, I'm like, who's going to dress up like fucking, you know, who's going to dress up like the Pink Panther this time? Like who's going
to. But that I'm prepared to see. That I want to see.
What about Rey Mysterio years ago in like 2008, 2009 when he was the Joker? Because he came out full purple, his mask, like everything was.
Well, was not happening back then. No one was. Yeah.
He was
that
the
back
one. He
then.
Was the one do it, but it didn't. Now everybody's doing it.
No, even before that, he was Spider-Man a lot.
He was Spider-Man
doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
I remember.
He's grandfathered in.
This is a really deep cut, but I remember WCW NWO Revenge on the N64 and PlayStation. Rey Mysterio had an alternate costume that was definitely the Spider-Man suit, and I would. That every single time.
I think maybe if it wouldn't have been for the fact that it was like Gargano and then Ricochet, like.
And then Bliss.
And then Bliss, like all in the same like weekend of stuff. It's like, oh, we get it.
Yeah. So, like, you yourself are a character in pop
yes.
culture.
Yes.
So I
you
want
are a
to
larger
know,
than life character.
Yeah, I want to see what your character is. I want to see your iconic character. I don't want to see every week you dress as a different character.
I don't think there. My personal opinion. I don't think there are many people who actually do that every single week.
No, but it's just
but
too much.
But for special occasions, they want to dress up. They're in Canada. He dressed as Wolverine.
They're in Canada.
The vest was nice. I preferred
it
the vest.
Just been him. And until Ricochet ends up in fucking Bloodhome or whatever it is. That's where Dick Grayson lives now. It's like 40 to 50 miles away from Gotham City.
Okay,
anyway,
yeah, sure.
It's fine. So until he moves to that suburb of Gotham City that doesn't exist, or until they do a town there, I don't want to see it.
All
you
right.
know, unless, and this is my one exception, if they are in Seattle and Daniel Bryan wants to dress as the Green Arrow because the Green Arrow also lived in Seattle, and he is a huge environmentalist.
Mm.
That at least makes sense.
Just, I'm okay for it. I like their gear. Please just wear your gear. I like it.
Okay. Fair enough.
Anyway.
So when Wolverine fought that guy who wears the necklace to the ring, is this match, I've heard like great things. Is it possible for me to be overhyped for it?
Man, I mean, I enjoyed the match. I thought it was too long. Mm-hmm. I routinely think things are too long because I am old.
Hard
I don't know if it need. I mean, I really like the first fall. I don't know. I don't want to do spoilers, but you.
No, I've already read about it. I just haven't seen it. So.
Like, I enjoyed the first fall that Johnny like ate that one, and it was funny, and it was like, ha, Johnny's like hit him with a chair. He's disqualified. Yeah. But then I'm like, oh, the second fall was like, why are we having 2 out of 3 falls? Did this need to be 2 out of 3 falls? Could it not have just been one badass, incredible weapons in a cage match? Like, it was like a Christmas cracker of weapons. It was like, you pull it open and we don't know what's in there. Everything! I especially liked it when he opened his little bag full of presents, like extra presents, so like knuckle dusters and things.
It's so weird. And the way that they decorated, like, the cage.
Yeah, made it too hard to get his sledgehammer off the top.
It was so hard.
Like, you tied that tie too tight. Mean people. You made him look like a silly boy.
But of course, if they hadn't, it would have rolled off and hurt someone. So it's like, just don't do it then. Yeah. Just don't do it.
It was interesting. It was a new fun twist on a cage match. The match itself was great. I enjoyed it. I will watch either of them do anything forever. Yeah. So...
Except dress up as Wolverine.
So, I mean, I'll watch him do it like on his own time. That's what Instagram is for. You go to Magic Kingdom all the time.
Zelina Vega keeps hers to Instagram.
And she is excellent at it.
She's great.
But
no one else
doing it on screen as often because she's in character.
Yeah. No one else gets
it's
to be
not
Jade
part of her
from
character.
Now on. No one else gets to. That's
fair enough.
Or Katana. Or Melina.
That was badass.
Anything that she wants to do, basically.
Basically.
Yeah. We had the Undisputed Era all over the card. They opened the night with Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish coming up short against the Street Profits for the NXT tag title. Boy, I don't think I've ever seen a bad NXT tag match, especially when it was for a championship. It doesn't seem like there are any bad pay-per-view matches in general that they put on. Mm-hmm. None that I can remember. Mm-hmm. And the tag matches are always...
Well,
extra great.
Get ready, because when it goes to Fox Sports 1 and it's live in 2 hours.
I don't want to think about it. That's the death of that. That could be the death of that brand if Vince gets overly involved.
I can let it go to 2 hours, but it's the Vince of it all.
It's the Vince of it all.
That's the scary part. It's very frightening. We don't know, but we feel like we have a pretty strong sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been watching this stuff for 35 years. Feels like there's a pattern.
Yeah. Yep. I saw the words Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn, and I died inside.
Yeah.
But anyway, this one was great.
This was
Yay!
Great.
the other appearance of the Undisputed Era was Roderick Strong versus Pete Dunne versus Velveteen Dream for the North American Championship.
Boom.
First of all, Velveteen Dreams. See, now you're a member. Now you're in the Undisputed Era. I love the Mountie. The Mountie music at the entry. At the entrance.
That was so good.
That was so great. I could have done without the Toronto Raptors celebration.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I felt like that
was a one-off.
Like a, hey, here you go, Canada.
Kawhi got lucky. It's fine.
Sure, that's not personal.
No. Yeah, it's 100% personal.
I did literally, when they showed Ricochet, I thought it was Drake for like a hot second.
Like if there,
I did tweet Drake and ask him if he wanted to go, and Drake did not reply.
Wow.
Wait to leave your boy hanging, Drake.
You got left on red.
Drake. You shouldn't be in an NBA stadium for anything ever any time again. Anyway.
Oh, you so mad.
My favorite moment of that. I love little things in a match, especially when I see something that I don't think I've seen before. But when you see it, you're like, why wouldn't you ever do that in a match? Which was the 3 count. I think Dunn had pinned Strong and Velveteen Dream grabbed the referee's hand to prevent him from hitting the 3 count.
Yes.
You can't be disqualified. Why wouldn't you do that? He grabbed the referee at another point and held him. So that was the same sequence. He holds him so he can't make the count. Then when he gets to the count, he grabs his arm. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. So
smart.
I love smart.
About Dream, though. I feel like every time I see him, he's doing something I haven't seen. And every week I think
innovative.
I've seen all of the things. But even when I saw him live at that NXT show last January in South Carolina, and he is just, it's like you're watching wrestling for the first time when you're watching him.
Yeah.
Like, he walked around the ring at that show and he was wrestling Johnny, and Johnny was down and they were counting for him, and everyone was counting to 10. In the audience, and he was like, oh, I can't hear you. What was that? Keep counting, South Carolina. And I'm like, it's not new, but it feels new on him.
Well, yeah. I think so that's good. And I don't want to gatekeep. There are a lot of people who get recruited these days who are not wrestling fans. They're athletic people, and that's great, and that's fine. But you definitely see the difference between people who have been watching and loving this thing all of their life and the way they are able to innovate in the ring.
Yeah.
And people who got into it because, you know, maybe they were invited and they saw a match and then they still fall in love with it. But there is just a difference from folks who have that prior education to folks who don't.
He's a lifelong student, right? Like, he's been watching this forever and he studies. You can see it.
I get very emotional watching him because I remember him on that terrible season of Tough Enough and how they cast
him. Fuck you, Hulk Hogan.
They always cast somebody. They did it with Chris Nowinski in the very first season as the guy who's done a little wrestling before and absolutely loves it more than anybody else, because a lot of people on those shows would show up like, oh, I'm a fan and I was a gymnast, which is fine. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that at all. But to see him, like how great he's become and how much better he keeps getting is just, it makes me feel good. It makes me, it's one of those things where I look at it and go, there's good in the world.
Yeah.
We're not all going to die
like
right away.
Like, he got this opportunity to become huge.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see a Mark win.
Yeah. That's one of the nicest things about that match, watching him and Pete Dunne, I mean, Roddy Ovs, but him and Pete Dunne are so young. Dream and Pete Dunne are babies. We have them for another 15 years minimum.
Yeah. They're all great. Roderick Strong is so good.
He is an older gentleman.
Like, you forget, but
we have him too.
Invest in the future.
You sleep on him. I feel like people, like, I don't know. He's sort of the forgotten member of the Undisputed Era.
You're not wrong.
And he's so good. And I'm curious to see where they go with him, because I know he's older. He's not like 23 years old.
But he's still great. I mean, I have a PWG bias against him.
Yes.
So I'm like, I'm always paying attention to him. But I totally understand what you're saying. Like, he's the one that's least likely to.
Yeah.
You know, but he's just so good.
I think he'll.
Boom.
Yeah. Boom.
Apart from when he's got to time his boobs. He's a white boy.
Yeah.
Let him live.
It's not
his thing he's good at.
It's also got to be intimidating when you're like, you know, you're going with Dream.
Wait, how long's it been on? I don't know. I'll just get on the floor and lay here until, like, no.
Don't get on the floor until you hear the dun.
It's been a 12 count.
I'm just going to plank until it's time.
But yeah, I know it's also got to be intimidating because you know that you're going into the ring with Dream and you know he's going to do something crazy for his entrance. Yeah. So I get it.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so. Everyone. It was good. I liked it. Mm-hmm.
Let's round out the card. We've got Io Shirai, who beat Candice LeRae.
My favorite match
via
of the weekend.
God damn.
My favorite WWE match of the weekend.
There's an English.
Holy shit.
I just want to point out a typo in the script. Yeah. It says via tap out. She did not tap out. She passed out.
Yeah.
She did a Steve Austin and passed out but did not give up.
Which is exactly what she should do.
Exactly. Perfect. Great finish. Great match.
They both came out looking like absolute superstars.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I loved it.
Heel Io is like my favorite thing.
Yeah, she's great.
And I'm glad that they did that, because I feel like they're really bad when it comes to the Japanese women and separating them and making sure you see they are all so different, but WWE is bad at making sure that they feel different.
They're so bad that they don't know which name to put on the TV captions when they use the Twitter names. And they sometimes put Io when they mean to put Asuka.
Oof.
Rage, rage.
Rage, rage, rage. So I'm happy that, like, again, it's got to be in NXT, that they're like, hey, maybe let's not just lump them all into that's the Japanese one. Maybe they are all different women with different personalities and different strengths, because they are.
Yeah.
Hint, you guys, Asuka's the kicky one.
Yeah. When you make them the Io's Japanese ones, that's when it's racism.
Io's the flippy one.
Yeah.
Fucking.
And Kairi's a fucking pirate.
Kairi's a pirate who has the best elbow drop in the business. Come on.
Oh, it just. Heel Io is just. I believe this is what the children mean when they say step on my neck.
Step on my neck.
Like, this is the greatest, the purest distillation of that term I've ever seen.
Oh my God. Spit on my glasses, queen.
Oh, she was. It's magical. Even when her trousers came unlaced, no one even noticed because she was too busy being a fucking monster.
A monster.
Sorry, I love her.
No, you're good.
And Candace was fucking. At last, we got to see Candace.
She's great.
Oh my God!
Yes.
Fucking finally.
Finally, it's happened to Candace.
And she's
work,
not just.
But you see where.
No,
goes.
She's not just someone's wife.
Yeah.
I think that makes me want to kill.
It was interesting how they sort of brought her along, and now people who weren't aware can see the extent to which she's able to stand on her own. Like, even I was aware of her career outside of NXT.
It's like she's beaten some of like the top talent in the world.
Yeah.
Or at least wrestled them, and like no one.
Let's all remember the photo of her bloody, bloody face one more time after she took a super kick to the face when that shoe was covered in thumbtacks.
Yep.
Wrestling.
I mean, yeah. But that was amazing. That match was like my favorite match of all of TakeOver and SummerSlam.
Yep. What'd you think of Shayna Baszler retaining her title against Mia Yim?
I love Shayna. I mean, I love Mia too. Yeah. I thought it was a good match. I thought it was really unfortunate that we are going to compare it to Io Candace, because obviously that's what we do. Yeah. And kind of actually our jobs to do so. It was a good match. I didn't think it was as breakout and standout as that match. I like Shayna. When people keep complaining, going like, oh, Shayna's going to be champion forever. Wow. I'm like,
yeah,
why
that's
shouldn't
fine.
She be?
Yeah, like, she should be.
Where else is it going to go until it goes to fucking Io and Candace and let them both have it? But I liked it. I enjoyed it. I love the evolution of Mia. I love seeing Mia come out and be as strong as she is.
Yeah. Also, I did tweet about this. I love that Matt Riddle respects her so much. He put on shoes for her entrance.
And he's doing his little squat in the
doing
front.
Doing his little squat.
Adorable
oh,
boy.
Oh, where did they all find those JNCOs?
Bro.
They went to the Hardy compound. Yeah. And they were like, what do you got? We'll take them all.
One in every size. And they're like, we've been every size. We have them all.
Before we go to the break, we need to talk about G1. The Bullet Club has a brand new member. Kenta took a beating from a returning Shibata before Tama Tonga and company made the save to welcome their new brother in arms. Any comments on this?
I think it's a great move. I do. Yeah. It's hard because, like, we all know that when Kenta came back, he was going to have to wrestle a completely different style. He's got no neck. So he's got to do things differently than he did before. So I think that putting him in a heel faction is exactly the right move.
Yeah. It's just joy. I mean, we could just spend another 4 hours talking about the G1. I know we don't have time for that. I'm going to talk about it a little bit more later. I really, really enjoy this. I think it's a perfect move for Kenta. I love that they saved it for right till the end.
Yep.
Because this is why the G1 is so incredible. And why New Japan storytelling is so good, because this obviously was plotted out and planned from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. I don't like anyone touching Shibata. Like, don't touch my precious baby. I don't want him to die. It was so close. But what an amazing way to get heat. You know, it's like, oh, he might die if I touch him. Touch him.
Touch him.
So, yeah, that was a moment. That was a big moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have a winner of G1 Climax. Let's hear what happened in the final match between Kota Ibushi and Jay White.
One more time! Ibushi!
Was it good for you, Kalk?
I need a cigarette. I need a pack of cigarettes. I can't walk. It was so good.
Oh, it's his year.
I mean, we said from the beginning we wanted it to be Kota's year, but you just never know. Mm-hmm. You genuinely never know with New Japan. He had such a fantastic tournament. The storytelling of New Japan to me is just unrivaled.
Yes.
The way that they managed the G1 with 20 competitors, every person getting their own story, every match being important.
Everything moving everything along. Nothing
feels
stagnant.
It blows my mind the way they are able to do it, the way that they do it. And Kota's tournament was just exceptional. And that he went into it with an unplanned, horrifying injury that
yes.
he got right at the beginning.
Oh, so scary.
Oh, shit. And that really did scare me to think, oh, they're going to change it.
Yeah, I thought they were going to have to.
Yeah, but it was exceptional. And I think Jay White, I feel like I talked about this with our good friend DJ Accent Report.
Yes. Because
on the internet.
Yeah, because he was like, oh, I didn't even realize that he was still in it.
Didn't realize Jade had such a good tournament.
I didn't either.
No, but that's the genius of New Japan. Like, the B block was really an even playing field till right till the end. So you really didn't know who was going to win. And they teased you thinking it might be Mox. And they teased you thinking it
And everyone thought it was going to be Mox.
Yeah, because they really set him up hard in the beginning.
Which is like, well, but of course not, because he's got to go.
Exactly. He's having his sweet, they're giving him a sweet moment.
Yeah, he's basically doing it because he's like, I want to do this before I sign another contract.
He's in looking strong as fuck and then sort of tailed off towards the end, but maintained his...
moxness.
Yeah, his moxie.
And he made a friend.
His moxie. Yeah. And he made a friend. Shooter. He made a friend shooter. I really hadn't realized that Jay was having such a good tournament until he was in the final. And when he beat Naito, I was like, what? Wait, what?
Huh? What?
That was the last what? How? and then that match was just... beautiful. I hate Jay White. It is the opposite of the Baron Corbin hate. Like, I want to see him wrestle because I hate him, which is what you want from a heel, right? That's what we're supposed to psychologically want from a heel. It's to hate them so much you want to see them get their ass kicked.
Now, I could be wrong, but this is his first one, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, I believe this was his first G1, so... that's also...
definitely his first final.
Mm-hmm. So, oh, you know, that's, just, I like, mean,
mind-blowing.
But he's one that they are investing in their new people. Yes. They are investing in growth. I know so many people were scared when the Elite left, but they're doing such a great job.
This is my favorite G1.
You're right. And it's like there's so much talent there that, like, I wasn't afraid that when, you know, the big Gaijin left that it was going to be, like, a problem. But I know a lot of other people were scared. It's like, nah, New Japan's going to be just fine.
Yeah. Oh, so I loved it. I loved it. I'm going to talk about a couple of matches at the end of the show, but complete joy.
If you have any thoughts on everything we've discussed so far, find links on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram in our show notes to connect with Tights and Fights online. We'll be back after this break with the biggest slam of the summer. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
You wept as we crafted the tragic tale of Jar Jar, a Star Wars story.
Yeah. Dude, like, he forgives Darth Vader. Misa still love you, Annie.
You gasped out loud at the shocking twists of Face Off 2, Faces Wild.
He takes his kid's face.
What?
Now we're writing an entire screenplay week by week on Storybricks Season 2, Heaven Heist. Hey folks, Freddie Wong here with some exciting news about Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have 1 hour to spin cinematic gold. We're shaking up our format by turning Heaven Heist, one of our favorite ideas we've ever come up with on the show, into a full screenplay.
Heaven Heist is an action comedy about a crew of misfit gangsters robbing the celestial Bank of Heaven. Think of Coco meets Point Break.
Join us as we write this crazy movie scene by scene and get an inside look at the screenwriting process on our podcast Story Break every Thursday on MaximumFun.org.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. I'm joined today by...
Danielle Radford.
And...
Lindsay Kelk.
They said it couldn't happen in our lifetime, but lo and behold, a gift from the heavens. A SummerSlam with a main show that was fewer than 4 hours long.
That's great.
Despite a lot of really good wrestling, it seems like the talk of the night was Bray Wyatt's debut as The Fiend. Before killing Finn Balor, Wyatt came down to his new theme. Here's a clip.
I fucking love this.
I'd even hearing it, I'm afraid.
Yeah, like, that lantern made out of Bray Wyatt's head. Julian, cut that music.
No.
Oh, you want to hear the rest of it?
Yes. We have to hear the part where the lady sings.
I'll be back in a half hour after he's in the restroom.
I love it so much.
It's so good. Oh, I just got shivers.
There it is.
I literally just got shivers. I also get ASMR, though, so that might just be
I do, too, but this isn't hitting it for me.
Really?
Yeah.
As soon as her voice came in, just right up the back of my spine and
there
into my brain. Oh, it's actually still going.
Yeah.
Did you get a little ASMR from that?
I did. Yeah. Like.
Yeah. Feel.
I got it. I think, I don't know. I don't know. It might
good
be
response.
The percussion.
Could be the. Yeah. It could be the beat.
Now, Julian.
Oh.
Are you out there?
That was not the so desired good. Response. So
yeah.
Julian, you and I need to have a brief talk.
Oh.
Because I feel like you have had an awakening, that is not your fault. Well, first of all, we see what happens when somebody who is probably a better actor plays dual personalities and they have different movesets.
Oh, you're going to do
and a different
the thing.
Aura. But you made a
now
statement.
Now I'm going to leave for half an
no,
hour.
No, you made a statement with the podcast saying that the Fiend should kill the demon dead. And
kill him dead.
I agree with
1,000.
You.
She should do that neck snapping thing, but just do it to the demon.
That move is the one that's kind of weird.
That kills people.
It was
yeah.
awesome.
I'm not sure about
it.
I really was like.
You shouldn't get your. Because at that point, it's like, is he neck snapping yeah. or is he like neck cracking? And yeah. then is Finn passing out because it just felt too good?
Yeah.
Loved every second of it.
Yeah.
I'm not even questioning it. Loved it.
Yeah.
That's a chiropractic move. At
yeah. I'm not
point.
Sure that should be performed in a ring. Like, that feels like something to be done in an office. Slightly out of the center of town.
Yeah.
By a man who may or may not have a doctor.
Oh, that's
that
what my
might
doctor
be one where, like,
so
my suspension
fine.
Of disbelief because of movies is, like, too far, maybe.
I felt like that about the claw, though, too. I'm like,
mandible
that's
claw?
True.
Yeah.
So maybe.
Because I'm like.
Did it bother you when Mankind did it as well?
I mean, but I wasn't watching then.
I see.
So I've seen it since, and I'm like, Mankind, Mick Foley could do fucking anything.
Well,
I'm like,
but to
yay,
be fair,
Mick Foley.
If someone is pressing down on your tongue,
yes.
it does,
and I
like,
understand,
make you flop.
Yeah, the nerve
yeah.
under your tongue, it will.
I do understand the physics of it, but I'm like, yeah. from an optics perspective now, watching it as a wrestling fan today, I'm like, he put his hand in his mouth.
Yeah, well, I mean, just speaking of porn, like, I know if you do that. Oh, that was a discussion we had off mic.
Speaking of porn.
but if you depress someone's tongue,
mm-hmm.
sup, Brian said. If you depress someone's tongue, that could be what
yeah,
happens.
I just, it's a willing suspension of disbelief thing. And obviously all through wrestling, you need to have a willing suspension of disbelief.
Yes,
but putting your hand
absolutely.
In a man's mouth just looks fucking nasty. That yeah. was like, oh, I don't love it as a move.
You guys have a lot of critical thoughts today. I don't care about any of this because I loved every single second.
I thought
of
it was great.
Sure,
it was the segment of the show.
We love you.
I have no problems with it whatsoever.
I
thought
the Fiend.
It was perfect.
Like, I thought the match yeah. was great. I thought it was done wonderfully. I thought Finn's reactions were fucking magic.
Yeah.
Finn sold it. Like,
Finn did a great job.
He massively committed to making that
yes.
everything it needed to be.
And this, after the months of buildup of the Firefly Funhouse and
yep.
us all worrying they were going to fuck it up. Oh, it was so
yeah.
good. It was, you know, and our criticisms, Julian, are nitpicky. Like, you have to know
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
This is nitpicky shit.
This is critiquing with love. This is not like, this is bullshit.
Critiquing
this is us being like,
out
this was so good. Like, how could it be, like...
I think I'm just kind of, like,
you know,
in the afterglow of how
of
on earth did they pull all... I'm sure, like, maybe
Speaking
a month from now I'll think about all of that, but it was just, like... This to me was like my favorite wrestling thing that happened on a week that had a lot of really good things.
Oh, yes.
With it.
Yeah,
yeah,
I will take my IO right. match and,
right.
and go home happy.
Yeah,
but
the
IO
match
also,
was, but yes.
Okay, EO. My friend's baby is called IO and they pronounce it IO. And I'm like, don't make me think of two things.
two things
that
at
are
once.
Spelled the same.
How dare you?
But yeah, I loved it. I think The Fiend is great. I
yeah.
love that it's so fresh and well conceived, and it gives me fucking joy that Bray Wyatt is getting something awesome. Why?
This is how you do a head, by the way.
This is
that
how
lip.
You do.
Yeah.
Speaking of porn,
this is how
the
you...
name of this week's episode.
Speaking
yeah.
of one of these days, yeah, we're gonna collect all the spiciness we talk about in between breaks.
I'm assuming he just got that head made elsewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He commissioned someone.
He went to
someone.
The props department, and they were like, "Yeah, we'll get you a head." And then he was like, you know what? I'm going to find someone that makes heads. Don't, you guys are busy. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'll go to my head guy.
Yeah, don't
I got
push
a head
yourselves.
Guy. I got a gear
got
guy,
things to do.
Lantern guy, and a
yeah.
head guy.
Yeah.
The head guy and the lantern guy are going
to
build a head
he
lantern.
He talked to the WWE's head guy, and it was the same guy that made Finn's belt headdress. And he was like, oh, I can get you something, yeah. I mean, you like the demon headdress, right? And he's like, you know what? I'm just going to find my own guy.
Well, and here's the
yeah,
thing.
Cool.
Best part is, I don't even have to make it. I just stole it off of a car wash and put it on his head.
Of the fake, of the dreadlocked people
mm-hmm.
who become other people, I still
of
don't.
The dreadlocked people who become other people.
Because, well, because
white
the
men
demon
with
has the red
that become other people.
Yeah.
Because Finn suddenly somehow gets dreads when he becomes a demon.
Made of belts from
old
Hot
towels.
Topic.
Yeah.
right now, just because of how dirty they did the demon, I'm into the Fiend more. And it's
yeah.
not Finn's fault. The demon walked so the Fiend could run.
Yep.
But.
I agree with you there. I disagree because the demon's moveset was exactly the same as Finn Balor's moveset. This character.
Which is why it's an evolution.
This feels like a completely different character to play different. Like,
well, that's because. Well, and also, if he would have just been Bray Wyatt, regular asshole Bray Wyatt, and then came into this character, it would have been different, but it wouldn't have felt as huge of a difference as
mm-hmm.
going from Firefly Funhouse Bray Wyatt to going to this.
Yes,
yeah.
but still, it
and that's
feels.
Put in the work.
It still even feels
also,
distinct from Bray Wyatt,
well,
from
with
who Bray
demon,
Wyatt was before.
Well, this is the argument, right? That the Fiend is distinct from Bray, and he's distinct from Firefly Fun, Firefly, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I can't say that.
You might as well just call it red leather, yellow leather.
Yeah, red, yellow,
yeah, rubber baby that. Buggy bumpers.
I can pat my head and rub my tummy.
Good so job. That's you're doing, I can
She's doing it, yeah. By the way.
But the thing with Finn and the demon, and I'm not pro-demon. Like, I don't love demon. I don't want to see my pretty, pretty, pretty beloved boy covered in paint. Like, wash him up, send him in his beautiful white panties that gave me so much joy.
Yeah, point
That's
your
my
dick
wedding
at me.
Outfit. I'm yes. like, this is what I'm wearing
point
for the wedding.
Put your dick at me, daddy.
Put a veil point on your... that bitch and send him out and point, we're done. She's
point your
beautiful.
Dick at me, daddy, when I can see your abs.
Exactly. But the thing with the feet, with the demon, sorry, is that Finn's story whenever he talks about the demon is that the demon is the true version of him that's inside and that Finn Balor is him watering it down, right? He's like, I'm going to release a demon that's my truest form. Whereas I feel like the Fiend is something separate. So to me, that makes sense.
Yeah,
why
the Fiend is like a corruption.
The moveset is the same. It's just supposed to be with superpowers.
Which is, you know, it's like the same thing with just more powers.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I don't love the demon as much. I feel like I
loved
it
in
New Japan.
New Japan.
We're monsters.
Why aren't we getting married?
I know. Jeff, you're what, out.
Am I doing... Did two Dave Meltzers just show up? In the
Wash
booth.
Your mouth out.
I don't have
How
a clip there,
you.
I
worked
don't
in
write
Japan.
Anything.
Five stars for you. Five stars for you. You get five stars. You get five stars. No fucking stars for you, John Moxley.
The day that
no,
I walk I in I with joke. Carrying like a pen. Or a, yeah. sorry, a pencil and like a notebook, then
and
you
a chip on my shoulder,
and a
the
chip
size
on my
of the
shoulder.
Titanic.
Oh,
yeah.
No, I would be happy to never see the demon again. And I feel like Finn, as he gets older, doesn't want to be taking that makeup off all day either. So
and it
no.
takes him forever to get into it.
So
and
long.
He has to pay a dude.
Oh, it's hours. Yeah. It's hours yeah. and hours and hours.
It's too long.
Just let's not do that anymore. Or just get an all-in-one fucking Nightwing suit.
let's keep
More
jumping around.
It should not be covered.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Let's talk about the conclusion of the evening. Seth Rollins taking on Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship. There was a follow-up on Raw, but I thought it was a really, really good match. And it did more to put him over as champion than his win at WrestleMania, which just felt like... I'm going to take him by surprise and attack him very quickly. This was yeah. him gutsy, overcoming injury, refusing to stay down. That's
well,
like what you
like
want in a
babyface
champion.
Finally, someone lands on their feet after one of these fucking suplexes. Like,
yeah,
you guys haven't watched the tape? Yeah. You know a suplex
it's
is coming.
Spotting. Like, you watch this. Scout the move.
Scout the move.
You know what he's going to do.
Scout it.
And Brock for his, he's had a run of matches in the last couple of years where he's really showed up for them. Like, he seemed interested in the story of the match. So really, like, Seth Rollins is great, obviously very talented performer. Brock Lesnar, also a talented performer, who I think is a little more selective when he doesn't like what he's been given to do. I think that
yeah,
shows.
Yeah, it's interesting to me that it seems like Brock has been as bored with Brock as the rest of us has been. And when you give him something interesting, he fully engages. Weird
yeah.
that.
Yeah, so true. But he does enjoy the truck full of money that drives up to his
yeah.
house. Yeah,
sure.
Beep, beep,
look, the
beep,
guy's earned it.
Sable just opens up the barn doors. They yeah. start taking the money in like yeah. bales of hay
yeah,
with pitchforks.
Yeah, exactly. They're pitchforking it into the
That's
into the well.
His son has been doing. Yeah. That's why his son is so ripped.
He's so brawling.
That's right.
He's been forking up the money.
That's right. But great end to the show. I thought overall the show was really, really good. There were a couple yeah. of hiccups. One of them was the match between Bayley and Ember Moon. That is because there was no heat and it felt a little sloppy to me. I like both of them uh-huh. a lot. I like Bayley as a performer. I think as a fan, I prefer her fighting from underneath
yeah.
rather than being a champion mm-hmm. because she doesn't have it on the mic.
Yeah, well,
and she can. She also like she can be sloppy, and I think yeah. we saw it in the match because like Ember Moon for me carried that match.
Yeah, it was a tough match too. I feel like because it didn't really have any grounds in anything. It was
yes.
just that Bayley was like, Ember deserves a match. And like, yeah, she does. Sure, Ember's great. But then it's like, but why now though? Because we just watched the Natty Becky match, which they managed to put a ton of heat on that
yeah.
in a very short space of time. They managed to right. make it mean something. Both women did really strong work on social media to put some real meat on the bones of that match.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're both great workers. I fucking love that. Becky Natty, to me, to open both
Fantastic.
Shows,
oh.
TakeOver and SummerSlam, to open with two such strong women's matches that were decent lengths and told stories mm-hmm. and showed everyone looking great.
Yeah.
But then to me, they both showed the weaknesses in the next women's match on the card and the other things. So, I mean, Shayna and Mia had a really hard time, I think, living up to the fucking brutality and domination of Candace and Io. And then
especially
I really...
ending with a submission when you
beat Shayna. Exactly. Yeah. And then to have Bailey Ember have to follow what had happened with Natty and Becky is really hard.
I agree with you 100%. Even taking it beyond the fact that comparing a women's match, just this title, if you look at the title matches that were on the card.
And it shouldn't be women against women. We should be comparing all the matches against each other equally. It's just, you know.
What works about the Raw women's title and the Universal title match was that they were really well-told stories.
Yes.
Some of them going longer than others. If you're going to do a babyface match for a title, it has to be a really, really good build-up to it so that you understand why they're doing it other than, oh, I'm picking you for this match. Yeah. Not that Ember doesn't deserve it as a performer, but creative is doing no favor to either of the wrestlers when we as fans don't know why this match is happening. Yeah. Why does she deserve it outside of you telling me?
Why do we not have Ember coming out and being like, you know what? I do deserve it. Yeah. You're right, Bailey. Don't think you're just giving this to me.
Right.
I do deserve it. These are the reasons why. Now I'm going to show you. Like, I want you on commentary while I decimate someone the week before. I want to, like, come up to your match and stand outside while I'm watching you in the ring and show you how serious. You know, there's ways to do face-to-face.
They can both be faces
face-to-face.
To do that. Yeah.
I mean, Natty and Becky, there wasn't a heel in that match. Mm-hmm. You know, Becky's in this real ambiguous role right now.
Yeah. Sexy.
But, I know. but neither of them were heel in that match. It's like they just both really wanted that fucking belt, and they really wanted to prove that they're the best.
100%.
And they could have done that with Ember and Bailey, and they could have done it in a short period of time. And then having Ember lose to Charlotte on SmackDown clean and in a relatively short, pointless...
Not.
I was like, it was a good match, but I'm like,
how does
that help?
It was a better match.
Yeah, it was.
But it doesn't help.
How does it help either of them?
Yeah, it
just puts
anyone.
Ember back at the bottom of the pile, and we won't see her again for 6 months.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which I hate, because I love her.
One of the most talented women on the roster.
And an original character, and when someone with something to say, she's eloquent, she's well-spoken. I wish I could see her on the mic.
Like, come on.
So good.
I have thoughts about why that is, but I will not share them because I hate it.
So that match is a match where there's no story, the match has to be good sort of on its own. It wasn't for me. Yeah. I didn't care for it. As a fan, I didn't enjoy it. I can't objectively say good or bad.
There were...
For me,
9 hours of G1, 2 hours of TakeOver, and 3.5 hours of SmackDown, plus 3 hours of Raw and 2 hours of SmackDown.
SummerSlam. We're all doing it. It's in the water.
Like, what I'm saying is there were many hours of wrestling. For something to stand out this weekend, it had to be exceptional.
Yep. Yeah.
So much actually was, and that wasn't.
Now let's compare those three matches to the fourth major title match, which was the WWE title match between Kofi Kingston and Randy Orton, which I think had, they found a great story. It was very well built. Now we know after last night that it will continue, which is good because the match itself I thought was going really well. I loved how it built. I was really, really into it. And then all of a sudden I felt like I looked down for a second and the bell was ringing and I didn't know what happened.
Well, for me, this is another one where it's like, oh, Randy is also as bored with Randy as we are. And when he gets something that he cares about, he shows up and brings it. Mm-hmm. I like and respect the fact that Randy shows up for Kofi.
Yeah, yes. They're clearly buddies. Yeah.
I'm giving Randy a temporary pass because of his clear respect for Kofi and because of that video he posted of his wife giving him an RKO off the edge of a dock into the ocean. So he's getting a temporary pass.
It's not permanent.
It can be revoked at any moment.
Yeah. Anytime.
One word, Randall.
Probationary period.
One word. But yeah, I mean, like, honestly, by that point, I was so like, is this over yet?
You were exhausted.
Can this be done?
It's very tiring.
Yeah. But then I also got to see the New Day Skittles commercial, and that gave me a lot of joy. So,
if you're going to have them end in like a real non-finish and want to continue it, because now they've been really hot about like there's no return match. So even if Randy had won, Kofi doesn't get a return match. Why not have I feel like if you gave me the book, I would have it go the same. I would have him go up to Kofi's family, and then I'd have Kofi grab a chair and get disqualified. Then you have a challenger who has a right to ask for a rematch because I didn't even get a fair shake because he cheated to win. And you make it, and you still get that personal level to it. And then I think everything else could have been exactly the same, but that just felt like a less, you know. It wasn't a Broadway. It was just a double count out, and that felt weak given the work that they had done prior to that.
Yeah, I get it. I can see that.
What did everything? I actually enjoyed Dolph Ziggler versus Goldberg. Am I weird?
Oh, no, I wanted to murder myself.
It has no purpose.
I wanted to poke my eyes out with hot skewers. I timed the entrances. I timed the VT package. And then I timed the match. And then when I thought it was over, it wasn't over. That may made that poor, out-of-breath man come back to the ring and do his thing again. While we have this new bizarre Dolph character whose new thing apparently is saying, "You're a coward, fight me," while on his back.
He has become Twitter comments, and I don't understand.
Oh my god, he has. He's a reply guy. Yeah, he's a physical. Oh my god.
I don't know.
He is. He's Twitter personified.
He's the Black Knight from Holy Grail.
Yeah, fight me.
It's just a scratch. Yeah. It's not just a scratch, Dolph. You're fucking dead.
I'll bite your legs off.
You are dead.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he would want to go in this direction if he in fact does. And I don't need to see old men sweating and being out of puff walking down to the ring anymore.
Yeah, he's so gassed.
I'm like, he's going to die. We were watching it, and obviously Jeff is a newer fan to wrestling. And he was just like, this old man is going to die. And without a trace of irony or comment, like anything, he was stood in the middle of the living room, like doing something. I can't remember what he had in his hand, like dishes or something. And he was just like, this man's going to die. And I'm like, it's Goldberg. And he'd be like, Goldberg's going to die. And I'm like, without knowing who it is, he genuinely was just like, what the fuck is happening? And also, why don't they let him know he needs to come to the ring sooner? I mean, like,
why do they knock on his door? So
They're like, Mr. Goldberg, your music started. Like, that's unprofessional. It's called Gorilla.
Wouldn't it be nice if Scooter did it once? Time for the stage, Mr. Goldberg.
I don't understand why. Maybe they do. Why isn't that part pre-tape?
Yeah.
And that way, when he comes out to the ring, he's not already dying. Tired.
The look on his face, because like, when he came back the first time and he looked so triumphant and joyful and happy to be there, he did not look triumphant and joyful this week.
Well,
he was like,
he's scared of fucking up again.
I mean, would you listen to all those interviews he did the first time when he was like, I had to get into shape and I thought I was going to die. I'd be sat in my living room chair, like having worked out for the third time that day and eaten my like 17th steak. And I'd be like, oh, this is how I die. I'm going to have a cardiac arrest and die today.
Yeah.
He's like, but I had to come back in shape, so it was worth it. And I'm like, do you still think it's worth it, Bill? Because holy shit, it's not. Don't you want to live long enough for your child to be an awkward teen for you to take your shirt off in the middle of the ring after a match instead of just a child? Like, it's... Oh my God, let the man go away.
Let it go.
Go quietly, not die. Just like go home.
I'm glad that he had a better showing here that I would hate for his last in ring for WWE to be a Saudi Arabia show.
I don't acknowledge that. And canon.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
So like that didn't happen.
I get it.
Continuity.
I don't either, but we all know it happened.
I genuinely had forgotten about
it. It's like one of those like comic book digests that come inside like a box of cereal. Like,
it doesn't count.
Someone wrote it, but it doesn't count.
It's Spider-Man like doesn't eat
TV
Apple Jacks.
Novelization. It's like it can't affect the main plot.
Well,
it's like a hostess ad.
I thought it went well. I have a very soft personal spot in my heart for Bill Goldberg.
And I love that you do. And I love that you loved it. And that's the point of it, right? It's to give the people
and it wasn't
that
too
love
long.
It a thing. It was still... slightly under 10 minutes that could have gone to something else.
Goldberg should never be in the ring for longer than 5 minutes.
The match itself was shorter than the VT.
Yes, of course.
And because it felt like it wasn't as long because they were in the ring, but it was actually just Dolph running his mouth for a good 10 minutes. And then Bill was, he only worked for about 4 minutes. And a good like minute and a half of that was him going and coming back the second time. You're like, oh, fuck. Seriously, I have stitch. I need to like sit down. Who has a soda? And it's like, no one.
Well, he was one of three older wrestlers on the card. We had Shane McMahon being defeated by Kevin Owens. So he's not going to wrestle anymore. Is that right?
He could have just not, whatever.
Let's live in that dream.
Still
let's
find
all allow
Kevin Owens.
To live in
I mean,
that
for
dream.
A while, he's not going to wrestle for a while. I'm
he's
sure he'll
probably
wrestle
broken.
Again. There's never a never again in wrestling.
No.
It's like love me, daddy. He's the Liza Minnelli of wrestling.
Oh God!
Right?
Oh.
Right? Are you watching me now, Daddy? Do you love me now, Daddy?
Papa, can you hear me? Papa, can you see me?
Papa,
in the ring?
Papa's got his back to the monitors.
Yep.
Papa's drinking coffee and spitting tobacco juice into a bottle. Then, was this my favorite match of the night? Maybe it was. Trish Stratus
pretty great.
Versus Charlotte.
Pretty pretty great.
That's a great send-off for Trish.
Yeah, loved it.
What? Get, bring her, let her wrestle more.
No, I think she doesn't want to. I don't think that that's a... I think they would have her back in an instant.
Maybe she'll change her mind.
I tweeted, don't be a stranger. I'm like, come back to us.
Yeah.
If you could come back and go like that...
Oh my God, she could go.
Come back. I don't care. Come back every week. Be my queen. Be my champion.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with Trish coming back.
I feel like she wants to be out, right?
Yeah.
And she wants a legend
role.
Yeah, I think that she's like...
it was great.
She's got her business. She does her yoga stuff.
Yep.
I think that she comes back enough so that she can like plug her shit and get people to be like, hey, so that I honestly, I think she's at a point where she's like angling to be in that like fitness guru spot where she can like sell her DVDs and she can sell her website and then also do her personal training and her classes.
Yeah.
Get it.
Look, I love her. I'm being selfish. I want her to do whatever makes her happy. She has beyond earned it, whether she ever came back or not.
And they both looked so good.
They both looked great.
They worked to each other's level. They raised each other up. And Charlotte didn't come down to raise Trish up. She raised Trish up to her. And I just thought it looked
And Trish is capable of taking care of herself.
Yeah, well, I didn't feel like, I mean?
Like, I'm not saying like nobody carried anybody.
No. Her, she was saying like, hey, instead of me coming down to your level, which is so what happens in a lot of these matches.
Yes.
And it makes everyone look worse instead of raising each other up. Like they met in the middle and no one looked like they were giving up anything.
Yep.
It just was. Was beautiful chemistry between two fantastic performers.
And served both of them equally.
Yes.
Yep.
I do wish if I were booking, I would have not had Charlotte on the show and then have that drive her towards Clash of Champions and have the original plan I think was Trish Bailey. That was my understanding. That was the rumor. That would have done more for Bailey. Bailey needs a win as champion. She has no defining wins.
People would have just booed the fuck out of Bailey, and it would have just been hard.
Bailey is great. Bailey can't carry a match, and I don't. Not that Trish necessarily needs to be carried, but I think that with Trish's time away, and with Bailey being so new, you need a ring general.
Yeah,
that's just from a from a storytelling standpoint. It is a rub that Charlotte does not need at all. It's like I don't look at it and go, "What a great win for Charlotte." I look at it and go, "Boy, they put on a great match that I loved."
And I felt like that's
I'm grateful to have seen it. So I'm glad it was on there. It was an attraction match. I get it. One last match from the pay per view to talk about: AJ Styles versus Ricochet for the U.S. Championship. I thought it was good. Good, not great.
Good, not great.
Yeah, I thought it was a match that happened. It was overshadowed somewhat by the Nightwing controversy.
Yep.
It was fine.
It was fine.
They're great. They're good together.
It's one of those things where it's like a lot of matches that might have stood out or we would think of more just got drowned out with everything that happened.
There was a lot of SummerSlam to me, and I know you really enjoyed the show, and I did not enjoy the show, but a lot of it felt like a really good episode of Raw. It didn't feel...
Mm-hmm.
Eventful to me. It didn't feel
especially
like
especially to be
the,
one of the big
you know,
four.
The hottest party of the summer. It didn't feel like SummerSlam, right? It didn't feel like occasion. It didn't feel momentous.
Creative sucks.
Yeah, well, and I was just sad because I'm like, oh, this just feels like a good episode of Raw, which then makes me sad for bad episodes of Raw.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't all episodes of Raw good and why doesn't this feel like a SummerSlam?
Well, speaking about good episodes of Raw, I think we did have one on Monday. Including a very special return.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, before we go to you, I just think it's cool that one of the superstars has also shopped for bad wigs at Hollywood Toy and Costume, where I went so many years when I was doing shows at iOS. You'd go there for a wig and be like, here's something that doesn't look like hair at all. Put it on your head.
Put it on your head.
It will not, it'll look like you have your hair, three hats, and then hair.
It's a hair hat.
It's a hair hat. Danielle?
Yes.
That's what my wig brand will
be. Do you want to talk about your wife? Is there a clip?
And it's been 1 year today since my dad died.
Oh. Poor Natty.
Natty sacrifices so much.
I feel so... Jeff was like, Natty should get a belt. I'm like, no, she shouldn't.
What?
Like, listen
she's
to
in Canada talking about her dead dad. And they're saying, thank you, Sasha.
Just when I thought she couldn't
Natty should not
any
get a
more class. This is despicable. Wow. Sasha Banks is here.
The hell she interrupted Natalya having an emotional moment.
The only time Corey Graves has ever been right.
Her ego knows no bounds. Corey, we haven't seen the boss since WrestleMania.
Yeah, she's been busy pouting.
Now she's back now. Get used to it.
Pouting.
Pouting. Pouting looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
What the hell?
Surprise.
She did it exactly as I tweeted. Like, I'm trying to broken off and like, she's talking about a dead dad. And then she literally was like, she did that guy. My tweets were very overexcited.
Yeah. So as soon as it happened, Kelk was like, Danielle, it's happening. So we have been texting over the past couple of days because I'm
Detective Pikachu Danielle.
Detective Pikachu Danielle. I am a wrestle detective. If you need me to find out if the guy you like is dating someone, I can do it.
How many cats he owns, where those cats might have been, whose house they've been at, and what they were doing there.
Yeah.
Danielle knows.
Sasha has been dropping clues. She has been tweeting lyrics from a Kendrick Lamar song, which I recognized when they would come up in my feed. And I noticed that she had tweeted that the song that she had been tweeting was almost over. And it was the song about like, because it's from To Pimp a Butterfly. And so I go on there and I start looking at the Instagram and I see that she's got like this, oh no, you tweeted me about the wig. But so I tweeted or I texted Kelk and I was like, I think Sasha might be back sometime this month. We didn't like, I don't know where, because All Out is at the end of the month and then there's SummerSlam this weekend. But I get a really strong feeling that she's going to be back in wrestling sometime this month. And Kelk was like, oh, that's interesting. And I told her about the song lyrics. And then Kelk sent me the message that she had gotten a blonde wig. And we were both like, huh.
Because you got to bleach out the color.
Because you got to bleach out the color
before you... To put in the wacky color. Because I put in the wacky color. You got to bleach out the natural color. Mm-hmm. So we recognized a bleach job when we saw one.
Yeah, of that really nice wig. And so that was how we... That's how we knew she was coming back.
Let me just say, thanks for putting me on that text thread. I appreciate it.
Would you have honestly wanted to have been on that?
Yes!
Okay. Well, next time...
Yes, queen!
Next time we do
like,
hair
sleeving. That is a beautiful ombre.
Yeah, like that correct. Is... I mean... Of course I want to know.
All right, well, next time that we do, that's how we know.
The wrestle detectives go into action.
Should I leave the room?
Well, that's how we know when people are dating
you're
because we
the
track
Charlie
their cats.
To our angels. Or the Bosley. What I mean, it's, Bosley? I guess Julian's the Charlie and you're our Bosley.
I feel like Kate Jackson.
I used to have a boss called Kate Jackson. That's a side note. Terrible.
But yeah, so it was great. Her coming back was great. Her wig reveal was great. Especially because I think that like so many people make fun of her wigs because they're not always great. And there's like a way to lay a wig down. And that second wig, that blue wig, was laid. It was so laid that people online thought it was hair. And it's like, that's not hair.
Yeah.
That's just what a good wig and a good wig part looks like. I'm like convinced. Again, we're talking with DJ Accident Report. So I think what they did is because you can glue a wig down. Like the wigs that I wear, I just plop them on my hair like hats, whatever. Because I don't have time. Yeah, they're hair hats. I don't have time to like glue hair down, and I'm not going to someone professional who can like do it. Mm-hmm. But when a wig is done well, you can't tell it's a wig, and that's why I always get mad at these movies where people have bad wigs. Like
it offends me. I watched First Man this weekend.
Oh,
chock full of terrible wigs.
I loved Aquaman, but the wig work in that made me so fucking
so
cranky. Especially because you look at something like that
Amber
and it's like
Heard, you monster.
It's like a wrestler can pay to have someone do that for her. Mm-hmm. WB, you got all this money and you can't bring in a wig person.
No.
And people online will be like, oh, the wigs aren't that big a deal. They don't distract me. It's like, but did you know it was a wig?
Yeah.
Because if you know it's a wig, then they did it wrong.
Is it Kristen Stewart in New Moon? Yes, it is. It's a wig. It's a wig.
Distracting.
The wig.
The Charlie's Angels wig work looks good, though.
Looks great. I guess they got a wig person.
I'm very excited for that movie.
Me too.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I like the other Charlie's Angels
reboot,
too.
She learned so much from her Twilight poor wigs that she was like, you guys, we got to get a wig guy.
And her taking on Becky and the fact that Becky had foreshadowed that like online during that week, during her interviews and being like, you've got to stop tweeting about butterflies and, you know, don't take your ball and go home. And, you know, I loved it. I thought it was great. And I hope that whoever started that rumor about them pouting on the floor of their hotel when there are clearly pictures of them enjoying the show, no pouting, no tears, they can kiss all of my ass. And I hope it wasn't Bliss. Everyone thinks it's Bliss. I hope not.
I hope not. I don't know.
I hope not.
But no, it just the joy. The absolute joy. And she feels like the right contender to finally give Becky a real challenge.
Yeah.
And heal Sasha. So great.
Thank you.
She does not work as face Sasha. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
No, I want... Have we even had, like... How long is it since we've had proper heel shitty fuck you.
3 years?
Since Sasha Bailey, too.
Yeah.
Since she made Izzy cry.
Yeah. Oh, so never main roster.
Never main roster,
this
I don't
is going to be magical.
She was kind of a heel with Team Bad, but not really.
Yeah.
Not really.
She, yeah.
Because that, I mean, Team Bad was the afterthought in that whole thing.
She needs to be
put
on her own.
The black ladies together.
Yeah, that's the thing they do. They do it now with the Japanese ones.
Yeah.
Cute.
I also loved it. I also loved it. The pink wig was so badly done.
Mm-hmm.
That part of it bothered me because I was like, why is she coming out with the fakest looking wig on earth? And when she pulled it off.
She double sixed me because I was like, oh, because she's had that beautiful blonde job done on it. Maybe she didn't bleach it to color it. Maybe she wanted to keep her, because she talks a lot in interviews about one of the things she hates about her job is she has to have the colorful hair all the time, and that's why people recognize her, because she's very uncomfortable outside of wrestling being recognized and being famous. So I was like, oh, I guess maybe she is just having normal hair and she's gonna wear a shit wig. And I was like, oh, you bitch.
Well,
you bitch.
And I see,
she got me. And
what
I
I'm excited for also is that if she doesn't want to be recognized in an airport, she can now take off that wig. It's great.
Yeah. Oh, it's just joy, though. Just like, so well executed, so well done, perfect timing. Poor Natty sacrificing everything for that moment.
She
selling
died for
her
sins.
Dislocated arm, selling her dead dad
in Canada.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
I took a real bad bump to the butt when she went into that corner.
Yeah,
she did. Bounced.
Yeah.
She bounced on that bum. That would knock the breath out of you.
I love Natty so much. Please, when she retires, give her the cushiest training job in the
world.
Give
her everything. Give her 1,000 cats and 10 Hall of Fame rings.
Give her a house made of cats.
Give Two Paws a fucking Hall of Fame ring if that's what she wants. Because, like,
that's what I want.
That woman works so hard.
Yeah. How do you feel about all this? You know, we're online, show notes. We're coming back with a 3 count. Your favorite. This is Tights and Fights.
Hi there, I'm Winston Knoll, and I play a bunch of characters on Mission to Zix, an improvised science fiction podcast. And this is our incredible sound designer, Shane.
Hello.
Shane makes it possible for me to fill our galaxy with ridiculous characters.
Such as the Grand Cooler of the planet Flurp.
And the sentient starship, the Dezzle Mosh, man.
And Bino. Bino loved character actors with versatility.
And Predator J. Ryan, Lone Shark.
And, of course, AJ2A4, the defected clone trooper. Someone say clone, you call it a clone.
Well, I'm sure, technically, we're all clones.
Shut up with that clone stuff. Shut up.
There are 5 other cast members, too, but I sort of feel like I'm the alpha. Okay, that's fine. The season finale of Mission to Zix is coming up next week, so this is the perfect time to dive in and catch up with our intrepid crew as they explore the Zix Quadrant. Give Mission to Zix a listen on Maximum Fun.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland. I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Gelt.
This week, we're going to end the show by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling with you. This is the 3 count. 1, 2, 3. Danielle, what would you like to put over?
I am putting over just how spicy Wrestle Twitter has been lately. Everybody fighting, corny is being corny. And I have some theories because I've been trying to figure out why Wrestle Twitter has been especially spicy, it seems like, for the past like year, maybe not year, like 6 months. I've decided that the reason that is because, one, because of AEW, I feel like people are paying more attention to the indies, like people who hadn't previously. And then two, because of Mox going to New Japan, a lot more people are paying attention to New Japan that hadn't. And so what happens is that a lot of our spiciest wrestling accounts were people who almost exclusively were tweeting about the indies and about New Japan. And I think that they are used to the days when no one was paying attention to them and they just say whatever they want to. It's a weird effect that AEW and Mox have had, but one of the great things that they have done is been able to shine light to part of like the corners that were darker, not bad dark, but just they were darker because people weren't paying attention to the mainstream wasn't. But now, if you don't want to get into fights, watch your tweets, I guess, because everybody fighting out there is great.
Lindsay.
It's true to my word. I'm going to continue to put over the G1. I said I would put it on over until it was over, and now it's over. But now it's over. I'm putting it over again. It's been a glorious G1. If you are not a New Japan fan or you haven't watched New Japan before and you didn't know where to start, G1 can seem very difficult to get into. It can seem like it's too much and too hard to know where to start. Our friend Emily Pratt, who has been on the show, has written fantastic work about it. You can Google her and you'll find her top matches from each night. Will Ospreay, one of my least favorite humans, had a fantastic G1 with many wonderful matches, very few of which he won, but he was exceptional.
Yes.
Zack Sabre Jr. had a great tournament that was, and he's always entertaining afterwards. And the final was incredible. You just saw two men who have been pushed to the absolute limit. They've been wrestling every, I think they've, do they do 3 days on, 3 days off? Is how the G1 works. So they've been working so much for a straight month. Such a magnificent match. It's made me so excited for Wrestle Kingdom because hopefully this stays the same, that Okada retains his championship until January and we get to see Ibushi Okada Wrestle Kingdom for the IWGP heavyweight title.
Give it
to
me.
At which point I will die.
Yes.
I will die.
And someone tweeted, God, and I wish I remembered their Twitter handle, but someone tweeted something about Kota where they were like, this is what happens when you don't let no bum ass man stand in your way.
Yeah, so one of the interviews at the end, because they always show the interviews on New Japan, somebody said, oh, last year, you know, you had other people with you. And he gave a little shy Kota Ibushi smile, and he was like, I am only one man, I always stand alone. And I was like,
oh, my heart.
Because you know what they're trying to do? But again, that's another moment in the Okada Ibushi match. He does pull a Kenny, like he looks like he's about to do a V trigger, and he does the throw his arm down pose thing that Kenny does, and Okada cuts it off, and you're just like, oh, that was like the death of Kenny in New Japan. That was Okada saying like, no, you do this alone or you don't do this. And oh, that match, you guys, that match, 30 minutes of your life well spent.
Yes,
excellent. I want to put over Mauro Ranallo, who is our favorite pop culture reference machine. Just this one in particular from TakeOver tickled me.
And the genius of the sky, treating Candice LeRae like Keith Moe treats hotel rooms with the moonsault.
And literally when she walks out looking like that, she's like, I dare you to try and masturbate to me. I dare you.
Like, I dare you to try to masturbate to me. That's right.
I'm so afraid, but kind of turned on.
That does it for Tights and Fights. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. This week, your hosts were Lindsay Kelk, Danielle Radford, along with me, Hal Lublin. I will be at Dragon Con in Atlanta in about 2 weeks. That's Labor Day weekend. Come say hi. I'll be on the Walk of Fame. I'll be doing shows, panels. I'll be all over the place. Follow me at Hal Lublin, and maybe I'll share it there. Maybe I'll forget, but I'll be there. You can find me. Danielle?
As per usual, please watch the Honest Trailers. We just did the Honest Trailer for Masters of the Universe because one of our writers and producers loves it and has been trying to get it on there for 3 years. And so go watch it. We also do the commentaries. Yeah, go do those things because that's how mama get paid.
All right, Lindsay.
I have books. Please books. Buy them. Just so Danielle doesn't get mad at me.
Thank you.
you can get I Heart Hawaii. Which is out now and is shenanigans. It's funny shenanigans. It's a rom-com. We love it.
Yes.
And also my children's series, Cinders and Sparks, which also funny shenanigans, less romance. But there is a talking dog. And lots of sausages.
Yay. Have you noticed that everyone we know in LA has a rom-com job?
Yeah. Motherfuckers.
It's so weird.
And I've been doing this for 10 years, you bitches. Get off my jobs.
Get off my jobs.
Yeah. Give me my movie.
Yeah.
You cowards.
Really?
Fight me. Movie, you cowards.
I've made roster material. Give me a movie.
You're
WWE Studios.
SmackDown and Raw.
SmackDown, Raw, and SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I'm like a big deal.
Have her write Total Divas.
My favorite photo someone sent me was when they're just showing it on the Tron above the entrance ramp at SmackDown. It looks like I'm about to walk out for my match.
That's so amazing.
I'm like, they got my package done.
Amazing.
Cool. I'm on my way.
Our producer is old nerdy bastard Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle's the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Links to all of those are in our show notes. If you love what we do, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all of your friends. Thank you so much to the Maximum Fun members who have a portion of their recurring monthly contribution keeping the lights on while we are in here recording. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.